Havara is violated if you heat metal till it glows. The Rambam says that's a malach of Havara. But if you put out, if you mechaber gachela shel mateches, the pashtus and the gemara is that that's not a malach of mechaber minatera. It's only an isad rabbanim, because there is no pechom at all. If you have a log, a wooden log is on fire, and you extinguish the flame and you're left with a pechom. So if you plan to use the pechom, then we call that a malach hatzvicha l'gufa. If you don't plan to use the pechom, so we say you did the malacha, but it's a malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa. Let's say you blow out, there's a fire on the Bunsen burner, and you blow out the fire, or there's a piece of metal that's burning hot, and it's glowing, and then you put out the fire, you pour water on it, you put out the fire, that's not mechabe min haTorah at all, because there is no pechom. So it's really, they're not really opposites from each other. The Gemara had a machlekes hatanoim. Why does the Chumash, there are 39 malachas, why does the Chumash single out the malach of one Tanim is of the opinion that Havara is lelav biyotzas. It's a lav, there's no karis, and there's no misa. We don't accept that opinion. We pass on the Havara lechalak yotzas. Lechalak means that if a person does a few malachas to Helam Echad, he has to bring many chatos. If he repeats the same malacha many times over and over and over again, the Helam Echad, let's say he writes a whole letter. When you write Shtei Oisiyas, it's already a malacha. So let's say he wrote 1,000 Oisiyas, 500 times Shtei Oisiyas. You don't say that is Chayiv many chatos. He repeated the same malacha many times. But if he violates 10 different malachas by Helam Echad, then he has to then chilek malachas the Shabbos, and he has to bring 10 different chatos. So that's what we assume, that Havara lechalak yotz is to tell you that din, that on each individual malacha you chayiv chatos. You can't say he's chayiv misa many times. Once he gave misa, he's dead. He can't give misa a second time. So lechalak yotz is misa mechalak. If he violated b'shogeg, he has to bring so many chatos according to how many malachas he violated. So some of the achrenim came up with an idea. It's really a thesis in Beitza. It says like this, that if according to that time of his opinion has not been accepted, that Havara, lelav yotzos, there's only a lav, there's no kares, and there's no miso. So if Havara is only a lav, so kibush should certainly only be a lav, because they're sort of twin malachas. The one is the opposite from the other. So the Rashash points out, he quotes this from the Sefer of his relative, Rav Menashe Ilya. I think he quotes from the Sefer Alfei Menashe. And he shows that it's against the Gemara. Even though Taisus and Beitza says like that also. Taisus quotes a Yerushalmi, and they interpreted it as saying like that, that according to the Tana who holds that Havar l'lav yotzos, the Kiba will also be l'lav yotzos. And if Havar and Kiba are just l'lav, it's not a malacha at all, it's an iser. And on Yontif, there's no prohibition. So to be madlik, ner shel avtola, to light a candle, on Yontif that you're not going to use at all, shalot tzarech at all, it's not the tzarech al chanefesh, it's not the mitoch, and it's not tzarech yom k'tas, it's garnished. Shalom the tzarech klal klal. So the Yerushalmi sounds as if, according to the opinion, that Avor l'lav yotzes is not considered a malacha, and it doesn't, only 38 malachas carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov, and Havara doesn't carry over. But the Gemara, so the Rashash points out, the Gemara increases his beferish. The Gemara increases talks about amachate b'gecholim. A person is poking around, he has logs in the furnace, and he's poking around in the coals. So some of the coals that were black before, they're burning hot, but they're black, will now become orange, and some of them are orange or red. Some of them are orange or red, will become black. So those that were orange before, they were on fire, and now it becomes black, even though it's burning hot. But it's not red, it's black, so that's mechabe. And those that were originally black and now they became orange or red, And those yechai mishum havarim. Then there's another brisa that says hachot b'gecholim v'shoigeg on Shabbos is chayv one chatos, not chayv shtei chatos. So the Gemara increases says, what's the machlokes for the chayv shtei chatos achatos achas? So the Gemara says, if you hold havar l'lav yotzos, then there's no chato, there's no kores on havara. So the mele, there'll only be one chatos for kibui, not for havara. Chot b'gecholim is both some of the colors that were black are going to become, are going to turn red or orange. Some of them that are red or orange will turn black. So turning it black is mechabe. Turning it orange from black is havara. So the Gemara is beferish that even though you hold like the Tana havara lalaviot, so there's no chatos for havara, but there will be chatos for the kibui, because kibui, nobody says kibui is lalaviot. And the equation between the two that the Taisus and Beitza made, and the Rashash's relative, Menashe Ilya, made that. So that's not correct. It's against the Gemara Beferish.
Rav Shechter, so L'chalik Yatzos, they could have used any malacha. Is there any significance to the fact that it was specifically Havara?
I don't think so. No, all the malachas are the same. And the Tana who thinks that Havara l'lav Yatzos, he also agrees that there's Chilik malachas l'Shabbos. He bases it on a different pasuk. The Gemara says, now everyone agrees to that there's chilik malachas l'Shabbos. Just the Gemara says, there's no chilik malachas l'yantiv. Chilik malachas l'Shabbos, and there's no chilik malachas l'yantiv. The Achronim discuss, what about Yom Kippur? Baruch Tam and Frankel has a sefer Baruch Tam. So he has, Rabbi Kivege has, I think, a Shabbos HaGadol drosha on this topic. Shabbos HaGadol Pilpul. If you assume, like the Gemara says, chilik malachas l'Shabbos and chilik malachas l'yantiv, so how would you, what status does Yom Kippur have? Does Yom Kippur have the status of Shabbos? So there is chilik malachas, and does it have the status of yantiv? So if I'm not mistaken, I think the Baruch Tam says it's not a word Shabbos versus yantiv, it's a word kores. Kores, on yantiv, there's no kores for doing malachim. On Shabbos, there's kores. So when you talk about chiluk malachas l'Shabbos, you talk about how many chatos you chayiv. On yontif, there's no kores, so there's no chatos. So the relevance of chiluk malachas is how many times they get malchus. So I think that's what the Gemara means to say. There's no chiluk malachas l'yontif means you only get once malchus. As many malachas as you do, you only get once malchus. But on Shabbos, the discussion is, when you get up and you get to Malkus, when you get to Misa, you can't give Misa twice. It's the Chiluk Malachas to Shabbos is vis-a-vis Chatos. The Chiluk Malachas is only for Chatos. So what would the din be on Yom Kippur? So the Baruch Tam says, it depends. If you're talking that he did several Malachas b'Shegeg, one of those Malachas Yom Kippur is Chayiv Kores, b'Mezid. So if you do the Malachas b'Shegeg, you're Chayiv Chatos. We say there is chilik malachas, but if the person did the malachas b'meizid on Yom Kippur, so b'meizid you're talking about malchus. So malchus Yom Kippur would be dina ki yom tov. So would there be chilik malachas for Yom Kippur? It's not a vort Shabbos versus Yom Tov. It's a vort chatos versus malchus. So if the fellow did several malachas on Yom Kippur be'elam echad, if he violated all the malachas b'shagig, then there is a din of chilik malachas b'negiyah techatos. But if he violated several malachas b'mezid, then and it's an afkamina for malchus, how many times malchus he should get, then we say that ain't chilik malachas liyantav. There's no chilik malachas. Unless, let's say, a nazir is drinking wine, they'd water maltishta, he drinks it anyway. Then they're going to give him malchus, then they, 5 minutes later, he wants to drink some more wine. They want him, altishta. Each time he's about to drink wine, they tell him, don't drink the wine, I'm going to give you malchus. Each time there was a hasrasa, then he's going to get many times malchus. So the same, if a person does several malachas on Yom Kippur, or Yom Tov for that matter, b'mezid, and every time they want him, don't do that malacha, we're going to give you malchus. Even if he repeats the same malacha many times, that's altishta. He won the nozer, drunk the wine, and he says, I don't care, I'm going to drink it anyway, b'mezid. Then 5 minutes later, he takes some more wine, they want him. Don't drink again. So whenever you have several times asura, right before each time he does the malacha. He's right there before each time he does the avera. He'll get many times malchus. But when we say there's no chilik malachas liyantif and liyam kippur, if he's doing all the malachas b'mezid, it means he's doing an activity he's doing one activity that has a lot of malachas involved. And to give him one hasra in advance, don't do this activity because you're going to deserve eight times malchus what you do. So then he doesn't get, there's no chilik malachas for mezid. But if they warn him each time he's about to do a malacha, they keep on warning him each time, then it's al-tish, that he's like it. Every time he'll do a malacha on Yom Kippur, every time he'll do a malacha on Yontif, he'll be like it. And chilik malachas liyontif means if they warn him everything in advance, don't do this pu'ula, this one pu'ula is five different malachas. So then he only gets one malchus, he doesn't get five different malchus. There is a discussion that some of the recent posts can have an interesting shaila. Say a doctor has to treat a patient, there's sofik sakana, and there's not enough light in the office. So the doctor wants to turn on the light. So turn on, we assume, we must have spoken about this a long time ago. The Marsham was of the opinion that if you turn on an electric bulb on Shabbos, it can't be any sederaisa. It's only a toldim in the Rabbanim. Why can't it be a malacha deraisa? Because in order to be a malacha, it has to have been in the Mishkan. If you want to label it as an abmalacha, or if it wasn't in the malachas hamishkan, but it's represented, it's similar to some other activity that was in the Mishkan. So then it's a tolda, you'll be chay menater. But if it's an electric bulb which didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, so then the Masham had a chiddush that it can't even be a tolda derais. It's only a tolda midirabban. In order to be a malacha, it has to have been either actually in the Mishkan before mamish, or it's represented by what was in the Mishkan and is considered as if it was in the Mishkan because it's represented. But if the type of activity didn't exist in the days of Mishkan, it's not a malacha. Rav Chaim Eisen didn't agree in a big way, and he thought that it's not correct. So that's famous. Rabbi Yisrael Zalman was asked by Rabbi Breisch from Zurich, from Switzerland, to give a haskama on his Truva Sefer, on the first volume of Chelkos Yaakov. Rabbi Breisch, who wrote the Truva's Chelkos Yaakov, was a mechutman with Diane Weiss, the Neda Charedis, who was first in Manchester. So their children were married to each other. So Rabbi Breisch requested of Rabbi Zalman that he should give him a haskama on a Shabbos of Truva's. So he printed a letter that Rabbi Zalman gave him, and he writes in the letter, when I used to be, it's a little humorous that he printed the letter, when I used to be the rabbi in Kletsk, so I had to work on Shalos Halacha L'maaseh, so that was my field of expertise, Shalos HaTshuvos Halacha L'maaseh. Now that I moved to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm the head of the Yeshiva Eitz Chaim in Yerushalayim, I'm not in that field anymore. I read in between the lines, I thought that he doesn't want to give haskam, he doesn't like the style of the tshuvas. It's not a Litvish style at all, it's a Galatiana style of tshuvas, Polish style, whatever. He didn't like the tshuvas, but he printed the letter. But so Rabbi Zalman writes, I can't give a haskam because it's not my field anymore. I'm in learning Gemara with Tosis, but Yerushalayim, I'm no longer Misak Halacha. But one comment I can make, that Rabbi Breisch originally wrote, he probably backed out later in life, but originally he wrote that on Yontif you're not permitted to be Molad Esh Mechorosh, but you're permitted to light a candle from an already existing flame. So many of the Rabbanim initially thought that to turn on the electric light is not considered Molad Esh Mechorosh, it's considered as if, because since the electrical current is running anyway, so it's considered as if you're picking up the flame from an already existing flame. So the Aruch HaShulchan published such a tshuva in the early years. Rav Soloveitchik used to be Noig Lohakel also. Many Rabbanim thought they didn't fully understand what electricity was all about. So they thought that the fire is running in the anyway, in the electrical wiring, and they're just picking it up. Over here, the fire is not running in Ganesh. There's the electricity is running, but there's no ash until you until you complete the circuit and have it go through the filament and the bulb. So then the light goes on. So I think they all backed out. At the end, all of those who were Meikle originally backed out. So so Rabbi Brosh wrote the tshuva in the first volume of Chelkas Yaakov. He wrote Lahokel that it's permissible to turn on an electric bulb on Yontif. So he, part of the tshuva is, one sniff in the tshuva Lahokel is that the Masham says that turning on electric bulb is only the Rabbanon anyway, because electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Zalman writes in his letter, I can't give a haskamah because it's not my field, but I want you to know that Rabbi Chaim Moses said that that's not correct. Rabbi Chaim Moses didn't accept that Marsham, and he said that turning on an electric bulb is a malach of deraisa on Shabbos, so that you shouldn't use that as part of the sniff lahakil. To say, to begin with, it's only the Rabbanon, and therefore there's a little room to be makel. It's not the Rabbanon, it's really deraisa. So the... others quote in the name Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered when he was in Berlin and his parents were already in America, so he couldn't talk to his father-in-law. It would cost a fortune to talk on a telephone long distance from Europe to America, so he used to travel to Vilna every so often to talk and learning with Rav Chaim Moshe. All Yeshiva Brochim used to talk with Rav Chaim Moshe. He used to work on topics halacha lemaisa, tshuvas, and give smichas, and women came with chalas on chickens and everything all at the same time. So he was a super genius. He can concentrate on many things at the same time. So Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered Rav Chaim Moiser with Dima Hadir to recite Bar Mi'ari Ho'esh on an electric bulb to demonstrate that he doesn't agree with the Marsham, that he holds that turning on an electric bulb is Ma'esh Mamesh, it's Eish Ben HaTorah, because that's what the Rambam quotes the Tosefta, that if you heat metal until it glows, that's a Malach of Havor. So let's say the following shaila: the doctor has a treated patient. It could be it's a chole she'esh b'sakana. He doesn't know what the story is yet, but it's too dark in the room, so he has to turn on the lights to look in his throat, to look in his ears, or to whatever, to see what is happening. But if he's going to turn on the switch, 25 bulbs are going to go on. He doesn't need 25 bulbs. He doesn't need so much. So the shaila is: should he unscrew? He needs. One bulb is not enough. He needs more light. He needs, let's say, four bulbs. So if he turns on the switch, 25 bulbs, the whole chandelier, and 25 bulbs are going. So should he unscrew 21 bulbs? All the bulbs are attached to the ground. All the bulbs are attached to fixtures which are attached to the building. So that's a question. If something is mechubal lekarka and then you unscrew it, maybe that's soser. Maybe that's a malacha. Of soser. Bona is if you attach something to the ground, maybe this is soser. So that's the shaila. If he won't unscrew any bulbs, he really only has a het to pikoch nefesh on four bulbs. That's all he needs. He doesn't have a het on the extra 21 bulbs that he doesn't need. So that's the question. Whenever you have a het to pikoch nefesh to do a little bit of a malocha, let's say I have to cook water, mishum pikoch nefesh. The doctor says the patient has to drink a hot cup of tea that may save his life. So when he fills the kettle with water, he holds the kettle under the faucet. Then he's going to put the kettle. There's no nochri. He still has to do it himself. So does he have to try to be careful only to put, the doctor said he only needs one cup of tea, a burning hot tea. He doesn't need two or three cups full. So should he be careful not to be marbid the shurim, not to cook extra, and when he has to turn on the lights, instead of turning on 25 lights, let him turn on four lights. To be marbid the shurim is not proper. That's a gemara in Menachas. That's a gemara in the beginning, the second daf in Perek, Rabbi Shmuel. The gemara has a situation, the doctor says that the patient needs two fresh oranges. Plucked off from a tree today. If it was plucked off yesterday, it's no good. Have to pluck off today. They have no nochri, so they're going to pluck off themselves. So you have a choice of either plucking off one orange separately, another orange separately. So then you did two melochas of kotzer, or to break off one branch that has three oranges on it. So if you're going to do kotzer on one orange and kotzer on one orange, you're going to be doing two ktziris, two maisa melocha. If you're going to break off one branch, It has three oranges, so it's that's called marbe b'shiurim. You only have a heter pikuach nefesh on two of the three. You have no heter on the third one. So Gemara discusses which is machomer. So the way the Gemara is discussing which is machomer, the assumption and the Gemara is that marbe b'shiurim is an issa deraisa on Shabbos. Because if it's only a chumer midirabbanan, not to be marbe b'shiurim, so how do they have a suffix? Instead of breaking off the one branch, the wooden branch that has three oranges, maybe you should pull off one orange separately. What do you mean? That's mamash tum malachas. If he breaks off the branch, marbe b'shiurim is only an issa d'rabbanan. Everything is mutna. So he should certainly break off the branch, even though it's going to be three oranges, but marbe b'shiurim is only d'rabbanan. So from the Havamin in the Gemara, it's clear. The Gemara thought that marbe b'shiurim is an issa d'raisa, and they were discussing which is the lesser of the two evils. That's the Gemara in the very end of Yuma. When you have a chayla she'ish b'sakana, you have to be mechal Shabbos, or you have to eat, let's say you have to eat the tray for food. A person is in a situation, a concentration camp, and they gave him tray for food. So if they give you a choice, you either eat chazer or you eat chaylev. So chazer is a lav and chaylev is kares. So it's better to eat the chazer than to eat the lav. Or let's say they give you a choice, basa b'cholav or tevel. So tevel is misa b'dei shamayim, basa b'cholav is only malchus. So the Gemara says, machila mosa hakal hakal tchila. And you have to eat non-kosher food to save your life. So you should try to minimize. You should violate the lesser, if you have options. You should always try to avoid violating the mochamadiki. So let's say on Yom Kippur, if a person is afraid, the person is healthy, and is afraid that if he fasts the whole day, he may get sick. He may get sick to the extent that it may shorten his life. So that's a suffix, sakonas nefashis. So we would say he's allowed to eat. We say he's going to die on the spot. He's going to die a little earlier because he's going to be fasting. If he's fragile and the doctors say it's not healthy for him to fast the whole day, then we'd say he should eat. So the question is, should he eat a whole meal, a regular meal, a whole meal? One who eats on Yom Kippur, because Tebes Hagasa is Chayv Koris. If you eat Chatzi Shir, let's say if you eat less than a Kosevus Hagasa, then you wait a few minutes, then you eat again less than a Kosevus Hagasa. That's called Pachas Mekashir. Eats less than the Shir. So there's Machlek Zabiachan Mishlokish. That's the first daf and the last parak in Yuma. But the Chatzi Shir Osman HaTorah, we accept the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara says in Yevamos, whenever there's a dispute between Rabbi Yechanan and Shlokish, we always accept Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. Over the years, they figured out what the consensus of all the Rabbanim was, the Amoraim. So the consensus was that din is always like Rabbi Yechanan, except for three cases that we pass on like Shlokish. So Rabbi Yechanan holds a Chatzi Shir Osman HaTorah. It's an Issa Deraisa, but it's still not as chomer as eating a Shir Shalom. So if you eat a little bit now, and you wait a few minutes, and you eat a little bit more later, pachas v'kishir, so that's not the Rabbanan, that's an Issa Deraisa, but there's no chorus on that. So hakala kal tchila would require that the chola, if he will be just as healthy, if he eats a little bit now, and he waits a few minutes, a little bit later, he waits a few minutes, so then if he'll be just as healthy, that will save his life. He won't fall into a suffix sakana. So then that's required. That was the big shaila. What if the fellow already is a chodesh eish b'sakana? He had cancer, he had some serious sickness, and he's in the process of pulling out from that sickness. They already did the treatment, the surgery, or whatever the procedure is, and then the doctors say, now he has to eat. If he's not going to eat enough food on Yom Kippur, he's going to fall back into sakana. He already is bisakana, and he's pulling his way up. So that was a big machloikah. So the Magen Mishnah says on the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Magen Mishnah, that when you have a cholish, he already is a cholish yesh bisakana. Not that he may, if he's going to fast, he may become misukan. He already is misukan, and we're trying to pull him out of this sakana, then you don't require hakala kal tchilam. Then you don't tell him to eat pachas b'kashir. Then you tell him you can eat kol tzarachav, you can do whatever is necessary. Because Shabbos, for Shabbos or Yom Kippur, whatever, eating or doing malachas, when there's already a chodesh yesh b'sakana, is mamish kechol shav yorabanan. It's considered like chol. You don't have any requirements of pochas pochas kedushim. So this is yadua. This was the psak of Rab Chaim Balozhin in Balozhin, and that was a tradition. And Itziv writes in Itziv when he was a teenager, he went to learn in Balozhin, I think before his bar mitzvah. And then he learned there a couple of years, and he married Rabitza Balozhin and his daughter. She was a few years older than him. So Rabitza Balozhin was the son of Rab Chaim Balozhin. So the Netziv wrote his commentary on the Shiltas as a teenager, and he writes in the commentary on the Shiltas that when he came to the yeshiva, the author of the Nachlas David was still alive, and he learned by Rab Chaim Balozhin. And he says he told all the Talmidim at that time that this is a tradition for Rab Chaim Balozhin that we pass on like that Magen Mishnah. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about this a lot, that his father, that his grandfather passed like that. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik passed like that. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik didn't, the Hoira didn't start from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. It came from Rav Chaim Balozhin in the city of Balozhin. He was the Rav of the city. He was there. He was the founder of the yeshiva. And Rav Elbala Soloveitchik has an essay from the Rambam, a long essay, and he explains that the people were upset why Rav Chaim was so makel. Rab Chaim said, no, he's not Mekel, he's Machmer and Pikuach Nefesh. In order to be Machmer, Pikuach Nefesh, you have to be Mekel a little bit on eating on Yom Kippur and Melech HaShabbos, you have to do Kol Tzarachov. Even though this specific tzarach to eat a normal meal is not a tzarach that you think will make or break the Pikuach Nefesh, he's going to survive anyway. But still, since he's already a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, so you don't tell him to do Hakal Pochas Pochas Mekeshia. So the Gemara in Menaches starts off with the Sofek. The doctors assess the situation, a rare, far-fetched case. It's not going to happen in a million years. Doctors assess the situation. The Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana has to eat two oranges that were plucked off from the tree today. If they're plucked off yesterday, it's no good. So it's never going to come up, such a case. So the Shaila is, he has an option of plucking off two oranges separately, to do in the malacha, two different malachas, or to break off a branch that has three oranges, that'll be marbe bishur. Gemara discussing which is mochomer. So in the havamina of the Gemara, they're clearly thinking that marbe bishur is an isa deraisa on Shabbos. So that's the shaila. If the doctor needs four bulbs, that he should be able to look down the throat of the patient or see whatever it is, what the situation is. So if he's going to turn on the switch, and 25 bulbs are going to go on, so that's going to be marbe bishurim. So that according to the Havamah of the Gemara, that's going to be an isa deraisa. The question is, the Gemara says on that shaila, that's ridiculous. Of course, it's preferable to cut off the branch that has the three. That has the three oranges rather than to pluck off two different ketziris. So when the Gemara backed out and they said there's no sophic about that, which is the lesser of the two evils. So in the Maskanas of Gemara, that's a machlekes, the Rashba and the Ran. Did the Gemara back out from this svara that they had in the Havamina originally, the Marbe B'Shurim is an Isa Derais on Shabbos? From the Gemara in Menachos, you see, that's the second daf. And Perek Rabbi Shmuel. So Gemara Menachos, you see, Marbe Bishurim is also on Shabbos. You can't tell whether it's the Raisa Rabban. It says that it's also. Even though you have a heter Pikoch Nefesh for two oranges, you don't have a heter for the third orange. So that's an Isa. And the Gemara says on Yontif, the Gemara Beitza says on Yontif, if all of my children are married already, and on Yontif I eat with my wife, we don't have any guests. Yontif is supposed to have guests. If you don't have any guests, so my wife, let's say, has to cook food on Yom Tov. So when she goes into the freezer to take out some piece of meat, she can take out a 5-pound piece of meat. We're not going to eat 5 pounds of meat on Yom Tov, just me and my wife. Or she can take out a 2-pound piece of meat, a 1-pound piece of meat. We don't really need 5 pounds. So the Gemara says it's permissible to take out the 5-pound piece of meat and put it in the pot and cook it. Or let's say you need water. I want to drink some hot tea. So Echa Nefesh is Mutter on Yantif. So I'm going to hold the kettle by the faucet and the cold water I'm going to fill up. So do I have to be careful only to cook that amount of water that I need? For Echa Nefesh, am I permitted to hold it under the faucet till it gets all full? So not only will I have hot water to drink now on Yantif, I'll have a Mitzvah Yantif also. So Gemara said that it's Mutter. Gemara says it's Mutter to do it. Let's say if Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he quotes the Machz HaShekel as the commentary on the bottom of the page in the Magen Avraham. So Moshe quotes the Machz HaShekel and points this out. Let's say I don't have a 5-pound piece of meat in the freezer. I have 1-pound packages of meat. So if I'll take out, all I need is 1 pound of meat. I live alone, I live with my wife, that's all. Nobody else there. So I'll take out 1 pound package of meat and put it in the pot, another package put in the pot, the third package, take out 5 single pieces of meat and put each one in the pot. Then when I put the pot on top of the fire, it'll be one act of bishul. It'll be marbe bishur. So marbe bishur is mutan yantav, but if I take each piece of meat separately, that's an isa hachana. Hachana is not an isa deraisa, that's an isa derabanan. Let's say I'm going to set up the chairs on Shabbos from Alav Malka Mitzoy Shabbos. There's no malacha involved over there. So here also, when I put the pot on top of the fire, it has already all the 5 pounds of meat in it. So that's all I need on Yontav is 1 pound of meat. But I'm allowed to put the pot with all the 5 pounds of meat because Marbe Bishurim is Mutter on Yontav. But if I'm going to take 1 pound of meat and put it in the pot, 1 pound put it in the pot, 1 pound put it in the pot, then put the pot on top of the fire. So even though it's not marbe b'malaches, marbe b'shirim is muta, but the fact that I took another piece of meat and another piece of meat, that's a hachana. That's hachana letzarechol. So let's say just to set up the seats from Lava Malka is an isa. Not allowed to do hachana, that's an isa. The Rabbi Moshe Feinstein points that out. So that's the shaila over here, whether unscrewing the bulbs constitutes, again. So the Gemara Menaches on the second daf, on the second daf in Perikar Bishma, the Gemara says the Marbe Bishurim is also on Shabbos. Is also on Shabbos. And the Gemara in Beitza says the Marbe Bishurim is Mutman Yantav. So it's a stira. So the Rashba in Beitza says the Teretz is that Marbe Bishurim is only an Issa Derabbanan, and they only introduced the Issa Derabbanan on Shabbos. They never introduced it on Yantav. Shabbos is Mochamad on Yantav, so they prohibited Marbe Bishurim on Shabbos, but Marbe Bishurim on Yantav never prohibited. The Ran quotes, the Rashban is not happy, and he thinks that it's a different difference. It's not a difference between Shabbos and Yantav. He thinks Marbe Bishurim on Shabbos, he thinks is an Issa Deraisa. Why? Because you're not talking about the heter echon abstak man heter pikoch nefesh. So he thinks that pikoch nefesh, that's a question. You're permitted and required to do a malach on Shabbos to save someone's life. So that's a big debate in Shulchan Aruch, and the Rush at the end of Yuma has this discussion. Is, do you say malach on Shabbos is hutra or dechuya? B'makam pikoch nefesh. So the Rambam starts, I think the second parak in Hilchos Shabbos starts off, he starts off with the word dechuya, that pikuach nefesh is decha Shabbos. Mashenik in the Ran assumes echal nefesh is hutra hetegama. So because echal nefesh is hetegama hutra, it's not dechuya. So that's what this is what the Ran says. So once it's hutra, so marbe bishurim is also muta. But since pikuach nefesh on Shabbos and Yantav is only pikuach nefesh is decha Shabbos. It's not Tanis Hutra, it's Doicha Shabbos. So it's only Doicha to the extent that you have a Tzorech. And more than the Tzorech is an Issa Deraisa. There's no Heta. That's what the Ran answers. That's Machlags, the Ran and the Rashba, how they answer this theorem. So that's what they write about. When you unscrew bulbs, so the light won't go on, you have 25 bulbs will go on. He doesn't need 25 bulbs. All he needs are 4 bulbs. He's going to look in the patient's mouth or whatever the case is, to see if he has a strep throat or whatever, to treat him for a suffix sakona. So how serious is the issue of unscrewing a bulb? Is that really so ser? Is that really a malach of so ser? They're isa, they're abanan, but if you're going to have 21 extra bulbs, Marbe Bishurim, on Shabbos, Marbe Bishurma on Shabbos, more than you really need, according to the Rashba, that's only an Issa Derabbanan. According to the Ram, that'll be an Issa Derais. So you have to figure out in any given case which Issa is Hakala Kal Tchilo. The Gemara has in the first Perek in Beitza, up on the opening Mishnah, the Gemara works about the Machlekes Bisham and Bisilah there. A person has to do Kisei Hadam, so which is Hakala Kal Tchilo? About grinding up the offer, when you do Kisei Hadam, you have to have offer Tichuach. You can't take a blotch of earth. So the Gemara discusses which is the lesser of the two evils when you want to fulfill a mitzvah. Want to fulfill a mitzvah or Kisei Hadam. So that's...
Rabbi Shechter, why is it an Isidir Reis? Why isn't it Moch Shin Tzrech Hukupo?
In which case?
By the case of Mabishurim, when you're plucking off from the branch and there's three and you only need two,
No, he probably plans to eat that also. I mean, he doesn't need it.
You said he doesn't need the third one.
He does need it for pikuach nefesh purposes, but Mislam is not going to throw it out. He's going to eat it. If you pluck off fruits from the tree and throw them in the garbage, that's what we would call a malocha shen tzvicha leguf. Means that we should tell him he should throw it in the garbage. He should only eat the two that he needs.
He doesn't have to throw it in the garbage. You can put it on the table. And not eat it.
So it'll be a malacha in the end of the day, you'll have to throw it out in the garbage, yeah. Otherwise, it became a malacha tzricha legufa, yeah.
And by the 5 pounds of meat, why isn't why don't we say dilmi ikla orchim? Isn't there a principle on Yom Tov for dilmi ikla orchim?
Yeah. Choyl mirik lechem chazal hashanam ichazalei. Since theoretically, the food that I cook may turn out that'll be eaten by Jews. And there's one opinion in Gemara that we pask in Hoyle. Yeah. That's a question whether we really hold from Hoyle or not. The Gemara has Machleg Zerabe Rav Chizde. Why is it permissible if you make an Erev Tavshilin, you're permitted to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos? Yom Tov is Chal on Erev Shabbos. So if you make an Erev Tavshilin, it's mutter to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So the Gemara says Erev Tavshilin is only mid Rabbanan. On the level of the rice, obviously, it's mutter to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos without any need for Erev Tavshil. Erev Tavshil is meaningless on the level of the rice. So the Gemara asks, why is it taka mutter to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos without an Erev Tavshil? It's not Echonavish, means Echonavish v'Yom Tov. So one opinion in the Gemara is Tzorchei Shabbos Asa v'Yom Tov. One opinion is Hoyel. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim, which shita do we paskan like? Yeah. So many Rishonim paskan that it's based on Hoyo, okay? Hoyo miklach chazal hashem mi min atayra it's muta. Yeah, midrabbanon you're not supposed to be lying on Hoyo. Midrabbanon you're not supposed to. That's why you need the erev tavshil. Midrabbanon they don't want you to rely on the Hoyo. Okay, so you have to work out all the details of the case, which is the lesser of the two evils. Okay, how serious is the use of unscrewing the bulbs? So you won't be marbe bishur mizananisa deraisa mizananisa derabbanon. Okay, so they write the tshuvas about this. Yeah. People think mistakenly that pachas mikashir is muta for anybody. That's not true. Pachas to eat on yom kippur pachas mishir is only chotzi shir is also minat Torah. It's only muta to eat pachas mikashir if the person is a Chodesh Eish B'Sakana. You're not allowed to violate an Issa Deraisa of eating Chotzi Shir unless you're a Chodesh Eish B'Sakana. But if you can eat Pachas because Shir, so then you really shouldn't have had to eat a Shir Mole, because Pachas because Shir is the lesser of the two evils. Machil Mos HaKala Kal Tchila should violate the lesser of the two Isurim. Yeah, so that's a whole discussion. That case would be a whole discussion. The doctors and the nurses face the Shabbos all the time. They have to be Mechal Shabbos and do Malachas on Yom Tov, V'cholim Misukonim. So they have to work out a whole system, which is Hakala Kal Tchila, which Yisurim are less than which other Yisurim, in order to know which one to violate. If you have to violate something, which one should you violate? We spoke last time that we... Yeah.
You mean learning that if you stop to ask a Shaila when there's that kind of...
What do you say?
I'm saying, you know, when you're in a place of sakana, you've got to act fast. Even to think that.
Okay, so good. Not that quickly, right? That is correct. But the doctors and the nurses have these Shabbos every single week, every Shabbos. So they should really work out a whole system so they'll know intuitively if the choice is A or B, so you do A. If the choice is C or D, so you do D. They should work out a system. If they didn't work it out, so then you have to run to do whatever is necessary to save the person's life. If you're going to dilly-dally to work out a whole tshuva then that's Harezi Kishefer Adamim. One who asks Harezi Kishefer Adamim, the rabbi who will be asked to Shaila is Meguna. Why is he Meguna? Because the Balabas doesn't know the din. That means the rabbi, that's what the Mishnah Berurah explains, the rabbi should have told the Balabatim from day number one that whenever there's any sex fake of Sakonas Nefoshes, it's Decha Kona Tarakula. So the rabbi should have ingrained this idea in the minds of the Balabatim of his community that whenever there's Pikoch Nefesh, you don't ask Shaila, you just do whatever is necessary. Yeah. We spoke a little bit about binyan arayi, binyan kavua, binyan shel keva is an isa deraisa, oil arayi is an isa derabanan. So we spoke about the Feres Yisrael on Mishnayis has a hakdama. The Masechet Shabbos has the whole long kuntres kalkelas haShabbos. He lists off all of the malachas cheresh azareya kaitzer adosh. And he lists off what's their rice and what's their abonon, all the xeris their abonon, all the issues, whatever it says in Magan Avraham, Machzah Shekla, Pimaganim, he quotes a likut of all of the poskim. So he writes there that in Simchas Torah, in Poland, he first lived in Germany, I think. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivega. He writes Mar Rabbi and Rabbi Kivega. So Rabbi Kivega lived in the early 1800s. So the Tveris Yisrael writes that in Poland, on Simchas Torah, they'll make a chuppah and hold it. They'll put the cloth on top of four poles. We spoke about using an umbrella on Shabbos. So in Poland, they'll put together a chuppah and hold it on top of the chosen bereshis, on top of the chosen Torah. So he writes that he thinks that that's a big mistake, that that's awesome. That's oil haroya and that's awesome. In Poland, apparently, they thought that it was mutter. Yeah. There's a lot to discuss about the oil aroi with the umbrella. That there's a lot. Then there's bona and soser. So the Gemara says, "En binyan bekelim." So Rashi learns, you never violate binyan, even if you put together pieces of wood and you bang in nails and you make a table and a chair, it'll be makabat patish, but it won't be bona. It won't be bona. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Ein binyan mekan means a kli shel prokin. If you have a kli that you can take apart, and you don't need an umen, ein tzarach umen lahazira. It's not like you're taking apart the kishkes of a watch, or you're taking apart the pieces of a television, or taking apart the pieces of a motor or something, an automobile or something like that, and then you're putting it back together. You have to be an umen. You need an umen lahazira. So that's called Asiyas Kli Mechadish, and Tosfos says, then it'll be an Isa Bona Dekelim. Like you bang together pieces of wood, you make a table or a chair. There is Binyan Bekelim. When the Gemara says, Binyan Bekelim means you have a convertible, you have a Kli Shel Prokim, which you don't have to be an Uman to be able to figure out how to put it back together again. So it had a shame Kli even when it was taken apart. So then when you put it back together, you're not creating a new Kli. It was a Kli all along. That's how Tosfos learned. But to make a new kli, that'll talk about an Isra Bona. We spoke a little bit about the Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. It does make so much of a difference, but Tosfos prohibits because of Binyan Bekelim. Rashi says it's prohibited anyway because of Makaba Patish. Yeah. So in Shulchan Aruch they have, let's say, this is a very common thing. Someone has a drink of soda on Shabbos in a paper cup, and then when he finishes, he has nothing better to do. So he takes the paper cup and he crumbles it in his hand and he throws it in the garbage. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to do that because that's whatever is bona is soser. Not always. The Gemara says if you make cheese, if you take the curds from the cheese and you put them together, that's bona. Like if you take a lot of bricks and you cement them all together, that's binyan. So you also take the curds and put them together, it's bona min ha-Torah. The Gemara says it's a malacha deraisa. on Shabbos hamegabein is a malacha deraisa. But if you eat cheese, that's not considered a malacha psoser. Not everything that seems to be the opposite of bon is always going to be psoser. But over here, this is quoted. The Rambam says you shouldn't use. Let's say you have a broom where the bristles are not holding so tightly. So every time you're going to use the broom, some of the bristles will fall out. So that says in the Ramah that that's soiser. You shouldn't use such a broom on Shabbos HaYontif, because that's soiser. So the same thing over there. If you take a paper cup after you finish drinking the soda, then you crumble it in the hand, throw it in the garbage to crumble it. That's an iser of soiser. It's not going to be an Issa deraisa, because it's Soiser Sham and Os Livnos, but it is it's an Issa derabbanan. Soiser Sham and Os Livnos is an Issa derabbanan. The Gemara says Mechaben Gachela shal mateches b'shus harabim, avalo gachela shal eitz. Let's say you have, this is a din of Shulchan Aruch. This is the end of Shin Lamed Aleph. It's quoted. All the dinim of Adleik of the Shabbos. See, if there's a fire and there's a safek, a svek svek of a safek sakana, someone may lose his life. So that's pikuach nefesh. And even though, strictly speaking, Koch Nevesh of a Nochri is not Dechah Shabbos, that's what it says in the Gemara. But the Ramah says that Bizmana said, because the Ramah quotes it from the Ozar Ruah, that we live Bein HaNochrim, and if we're not going to help out, let's say the lake is only in the Goyish neighborhood, if we're not going to help out, then the next time Chalila, there may be a lake by the Jews, and they will not help us out. So by our not participating in the Kibbutz HaLeke that occurred in their backyard, this may cause a sakonis nefashis next time for a dleka that's going to be in a Jewish area. We have no choice. And that's what the Chasam Sefer in the Tshuva writes, that the Rabbonim in Hungary made a takana that the doctors have to be Mechal Shabbos for a Nochri patient. Because if you won't be Mechal Shabbos for the Nochri, they may make a pogrom. The goyim are going to find that, and they'll kill the doctor. They'll make a pogrom against the other Jews. So that's the suffix sakana. You have no choice. You have to be mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what if there's a fire in the street where the people walk in the street? So if it's a gacheles shel eitz, you're not allowed to be mechabed. If it's gacheles shel mateches, then you are permitted to be mechaber. Why? What's the difference? So there's a concern here of Hezek HaRabim. Hezek HaRabim is not a suffix sakana stafashas. There is no suffix sakana here. So if it's gachela shel mateches, and by being mechaber, there is no pecham at all. If there is pecham and you plan to use it, then it's a malacha tzvich lebu. You don't plan to use it, malacha yeh tzvich lebu. But it's gachela shel mateches, there is no pecham at all. There is no pechem at all. So that's only, for sure, that's only an Issa d'Rabbanan. So the Issa d'Rabbanan, you can make it if there's a concern of Hezek HaRabim. But if it's a Kachela Shal Eitz, and by being Mechabit, you're going to have a pechem, even if he doesn't plan to use it, it would seem. He doesn't plan to use the pechem, but there will be a pechem, so then it's a more serious Issa of Mechabit. To make a pechem is an Issa d'Rabbanan. So then, we will not be mekel if it's in the Mishusara. The one is Kibbutz Deraisa, and the one is Kibbutz Derabbanan. That's perhaps the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara. And Hezek HaRabim is only a consideration to be Matar Nisa Derabbanan. You're not Matar Nisa Deraisa. The Rishonim quote a different Pshat, I think from the Rabbeinu Hananel, that Mechabin Gachel, I think the Ran quotes it, Mechabin Gachel shall. Mechabin gachela shel mateches is mutter because it's a real chashash hezek harabim, the people won't notice it. Gachela shel eitz, if you have logs that are on fire, everyone's going to see that it's on fire. So there is no chashash hezek harabim, the people will avoid it. They won't walk on top of it. So that's why it's awesome. But mechabin gachela shel mateches, because it's not so noticeable. It's black. and the people are going to walk on it, they'll burn their feet, they'll burn themselves, and they won't realize that it's burning hot because it's black. So that's why they won't realize that there's a chashash. But there's no chashash sakonas nefashas by either. And nonetheless, he made called Tzorchei Rav. So that's what one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael wrote several svarim based on this idea. Rabbi Yosef Engel expands on this also. He quotes Rabbi Yosef Engel has in his Chuvos and Ben Koras. So he says, whenever there's a concern of chashash hezek harabim, maybe it has this, according to these Rishonim, according to this Rabbi Hananel, it has the status of suffix sakonas nefashas, even though no one's life is in danger. And then you could, there's room even to be matari surim deraisa. So that's the heter for the police force to function on Shabbos. The police usually are just taking care of genevas. People are breaking into other people's homes. People go to shul and to daven on Shabbos, and the genevas occur when they go to shul. So if it's only a chashash, a yochid, someone stealing from a yochid, so that's, there's no heter to be mechal Shabbos for hefsid mamon of a yochid. But if it's hezek harabim, if it's a problem for the whole community, then some of the Rishonim say that it would be mutter to violate even Isurim Daraisa, Hezek Harabim, as a status of Pikoch Nefesh. Rabbi Yosef Engel has this in his Chuvos in the Bein Poiras. He has it to explain why is it in Parsha Shema, it says, V'haftar sasham v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyadecha v'ilei noita les nafshecha v'chol nafshecha v'ilei noita les nafshecha v'chol miyadecha v'chol mamoincha. And in the second parasha of Yom Shemaya, it only says, Chol Nafshechem, what does it say?
Chol Nafshechem.
How does it start off? Chol Nafshechem. It doesn't say b'chol miyodech. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner talks about this in the Nefesh HaChaim. So Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests when you're talking b'loshen rabim, the first pasuk in Shema, you have to say Hashem talking b'loshen yochid. So then it has to say b'chol miyodech, b'chol mamoincha, b'chol mamoincha. But because yesh l'chadim she mamoncha v'valim migufoy. That's say b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyodecha, but by the rabbim in the second parasha is talking about the rabbim. So the Vilt says the rabbim is not going to be so stupid. That it's going to be the tzipah is not going to be such idiots that mamonecha v'valam migufa. That's why it doesn't say. That's what people say. Rabbi Yosef Engel gives a different suggestion. He says according to these rishonim, hezek rabbim has the status of pikuach nefesh, even though no one's life is b'sakana. So it does not, since it says b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem. Chol Nafshechem means Sofik Sakana. So you're not allowed to worship Babbas or even Sofik Sakana. So it doesn't have to say Bechol Miodechem because Hefsid Harabim has the din of Pikoch Nefesh. So it's included in Bechol Nafshechem. Ashtikala Pilpum. So this, one of the Rabbanim I saw wrote several svarim based on this. And he tries to work out the details. They're trying to get religious people to join the police force in Eretz Yisrael, and they have to have guidelines. What are the police, to what extent are the police permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, why not? So this is a Shita Yechidah, the Pashtus is, you probably don't Pascha like this in Shulchan Aruch. The Chashash Hezek Rabbim would be Matar even in Issa Deraisa, Pashtus is not. But that's how this Rabbeinu Hanan learned. The Chabin Gachel Shal Mateches. Not because Hezek Rabim is matter, because it's only an Issa de Rabbanan, because there is no Pechon. No, it's mutter because there's Hezek Rabim, because the people won't realize that it's on fire. Because Gachel Shal Mateches, it doesn't look like it's on fire. It's burning hot, but you don't realize it. As opposed to Gachel Shal Eitz, the people will see that it's on fire, so there won't be any Hezek Rabim. So that's a modern discussion. The room to allow a police force, Mishum Hezek HaRabim, you have to do something. You can't let, in Flatbush it's a big problem. That I was told by relatives, that the Nochrim know that the Jews can't do malacha. They don't call the police. So the same chevra will hold up, will break into one house, and break into another house, and they know that the coast is clear, that none of the Jews are going to call up the police department. So the Rabbanim have to give a psak, what they're allowed to do, what the Balabatim are allowed to do, and what not.
According to Rabbi Hananel, if it's not red, then it's not fire. According to Rabbi Hananel, if it's black, there's no fire, there's no Easter bringing out.
If it's not red, it's not Aish, right?
No, Easter to bring out. No Easter. Black.
That is true. Only if it's red or orange.
Right.
If it's black, it's not called Aish. Yeah. I don't know. Mustami's talking about a case that it is red, but it's not so noticeable. It's not so obvious. When you have wood that's on fire, so the flames are going to be jumping up. So that will be more noticeable. And the Mateches, he's talking case where there is an Isser Kibui. Let's say the Mateches probably is red or orange, but it's not so noticeable. So then he says, because it's a chashash hezek aravim, that has the same status as pikoch nefesh. It's a very big chiddush. What's the din of a malocha she'ein tzricha legufa? Let's say a person, there's a fire. There's a mishnah in Baba Mardikin. It says, Hamchabes aneir mepnei chole poter. How does it say in Baba Mardikin? Hamchabes aneir mepnei
Listen.
Yare mepnei listen. Yare mepnei listen. Poter amuta. Poter amuta. When there's sakana, it's nefesh poter amuta. But if zechalu she'ein ba sakana. Then the Gemara says you're not allowed to be mechabe the nair. So the question is, why not? He's going to be mechabe the nair, but he doesn't plan to use the pecham at all. So it's a malacha shein tzvicha leguf. And the Gemara says in other places, let's say there's a mafis mursa b'shabes, a person has a pus pimple. So the Gemara says, if you take a needle and you make a hole in the pus pimple and you squeeze out the mugla, you squeeze out the pus, and then you, so that pesach is both lahachmis and lahoitzi, the hole that you made, the pesach that you made in the pimple and in the pus pimple is lahoitzi lecha, to remove the pus. And lahachnis avir, you want fresh air to go in, and you want medication to go in. So that's a pesach hasi, lahachnis alahotzi, then it'll be a malacha derais. But if it's not, lasis lapeh. Mafis mursa, he's not interested in making a whole pesach. He's not interested in making pesach, just wants to squeeze out the pus. So even though theoretically it could have been used, lahachnis alahotzi, but he doesn't plan to use it. Lahachnis only lahotzi the mugla, only lahotzi the pas. So that's a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. He made a pesach which could theoretically be used both lahachnis and lahotzi. He only plans to use it lahotzi the mugla, not lahachnis any medication. So that's a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. So the Gemara says, b'makam chol l'shem sakana, b'makam tzaira lagozer rabbanu. So the Gemara says beferish. That since it's a malacha, and the Gemara said the heter is based on the fact that it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. It made a pesach which theoretically could be used lahachmas lahoitzi. He personally is only going to use it lahoitzi delecha. Mafis musa lahoitzi lecha is muta because mamakam tzara lagos b'abana. So that's the kasha, the Meiri has that kasha on daf choftes in Shabbos, where the Gemara says on that mishnah in Bema Madlikin, am chabas anem, then she'll miserb. The Gemara says it's only muta by chalashiyesh b'sakana. Chalashem b'sakana, it's not muta. So how can you say it's not muta? That's exactly the din of mafas mursa. That since it's a malacha shein tzvicha leguf, it's only the rabban to begin with. So b'makom chalashem b'sakana, makom tzara goes b'rabban. So the Miri asked that kashin. And the Miri gives three terutzim on the kasha. So that's a shaila, the Imre Bina. Imre Bina was written 100 years ago in Yerushalayim. So the Imre Bina discusses which of the terutzim of the Meiri should we accept over here. He said, he's bothered with the kasha, why aren't you allowed to turn out the flame? The choyla Hashem b'sakana has to sleep. He'll get better if he sleeps. So it, since it's Malach Shem Tzrich Lagur, not using the pecham, so b'makom tzara l'gozer b'rabbanan should be mutter. So he gives one teretz, you can always move the bed of the choyla to a different bedroom where there is no candle. You can move the choyla to another candle. Or he says, it's not that the sleeping is going to heal him. We gave him medications that he should get better. It's called tzarachav. So maybe that's the din. We don't allow called tzarachav. It's called tzarachav. We allow v'chodesh yesh b'sakana. V'chodesh yesh b'sakana, you don't allow. So there's a third teretz. So that's a question, which the Imre Bina has, which of the terutzim, which of the three terutzim of the Meiri should we accept? There's room to make another distinction. Maybe there's room to make another distinction. That maybe the difference between an Av and a Tolda, that the Ran on the Rif has like that. If you do an Av Malocha Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa, but it's the Av Malocha, so that's a Malocha Midirabonim. So by Chodesh Ein Bas Hakonim, we're only Mako if you're going to do a Gzera Dirabonim. Amir L'Nachri is Mutam Makam Chodesh Ein Bas Hakonim. Or Tilta Muktzah is Mutam Makam, or to play a piano, I'm going to play music that's awesome in the Rabbanan, Gezer Hashem Yisak and Klishir. So to play music is a Gezer in the Rabbanan. Where are you going to stay? Whoever plays the piano is a violation of Yisak and Mana. He didn't fix the piano. It's a Gezer Hashem Yisak and Klishir. He may play the piano, he'll see that it's off key, and he may fix it. So that's awesome in the Rabbanan, Mitam Gezer. So all of the prohibitions in the Rabbanan, a million and one prohibitions in the Rabbanan, Hilchos Shabbos, are divided into two different categories. Some of them are malachas from the Rabbanan, some of them are only gzeiros shema. What are you going to say? You climb on a tree, is a emish tam shema mechuber, it's an isa shema, maybe he'll break off a branch. Let's say not allowed to ride horseback. Why? Gzeiros, he may break off a branch in order to whip the horse and he should go faster. You're going to say whoever rides a horse is a violation of kotzer. He didn't do kotzer even in the Rabbanan, it's gzeiros shema. So whenever it's a gzeirah, so that's what we assume. The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Ches, that's when we started Hilchos Shabbos, so we discussed that. Shulchan Aruch says there are four different opinions. To what extent are you makel on Melech HaShabbos by Chol Hashem Sakana? The Mechaber writes, Halachi Kedei HaShlishis. Dei HaShlishis was the Ramban. So the Pashto says that that's what the Ramban distinguished in the Torah Sa'odim. The Ramban was a doctor. He wrote a whole sefer, all the dinim that doctors have to know, about delivering babies on Shabbos and the Chodesh Esh B'Sakon, the Chodesh Eim B'Sakon, all the dinim. So the Ramban makes this distinction, that for a Chodesh, Tosis doesn't agree. Tosis lumps together all the dinim of the Ramban. They don't distinguish, but the Ramban seems to distinguish between a Malachim and the Rabbanon and a Gzer and the Rabbanon. So that's what the Ran in the end of the Masichta, the 24 Prokim. So towards the end of the Masichta, the Ran on the Rif has this Chilik, that if you do an Av Malachim, if you do, let's say, you're going to blow out a candle. That's mamish mechabe. You're going to do an av melocha, ein tzrich legufa. But you're doing the melocha of mechabe, blowing out the candle. So that's a melocha midirabbanan. Masha'ini can, if you do a toldo, ein tzrich legufa, like oisa pesach, you squeeze the pas pimple in order to squeeze out the lecha. You don't plan to put any medication in, and you don't really care that fresh air should go in. You just want to tell lahotzi. You made a pesach, not lahachnis. So lahotzi, you only plan to use the pesach lahotzi, and I can use a lahachnis. So that's a tolda. That's not an ab malacha of osa pesach. Osa pesach, Rashi is not sure what the iser is. Either bone or makaba patish. Even though Rashi holds ain binyan bekelim, but by Odom there is binyan. Rashi quotes the pasuk, even Hashem alakim nesatzela. The Tana in the Mishnah holds that there's one Tana in the Mishnah. Blazer holds in the Mishnah that if a girl braids her hair, That's a malacha bona based on the pasuk. But even as atzelut, so you see that binyan applies to Adam. We pasken that the braiding the hair is not binyan, but binyan does apply to Adam. If you're going to treat the patient, you're going to do surgery. Or you're going to make a real pesach. Also lahachnis alahotzi by the pus pimple, then it'll be binyan deraisa. So, but oisa pesach is not going to be daab malocha bone. It's going to be a tolda bone. So the Ran says as far that if you do a tolda, ein tzvicha legufa, it's not even a malocha midirabbanan. It's also midirabbanan, but it's only a gzera. If you do an ab malocha ein tzvicha legufa, so that's a malocha. It was in the Mishkan. It's ein tzvicha legufa, so it's lower to the level of drabbanan, but it's a malocha midirabbanan. But if you do a tolda, what's the definition of a tolda? Something that's done for the same purpose as the av, but it's a different surah. If it's a different, it's not the same as it was in the Mishkan, so then it's called a tolda. But if you do a tolda, ein tzvicha legufa, for a different purpose, there's no reason that it should even be labeled as a tolda. So then, so the Ran says that it lowers the level of the issa. It's only the Ran doesn't explain it, but that's probably what he's driving at. It's not even a malachim rabban, it's only a gzerim rabban. So it could be that's a fourth teret. That's not what the Miri gave. The Miri gave three different terutzim on this question. When do you allow cholusha? For cholusha misakana, which malachas would you allow? Which would you not allow? Okay. The last malacha in the Mishnah Brura has from the Lamitas malachas, he lists off 33. And then he says in the remaining six, he spoke about briefly in different places. So the last one that he has on the list is Haitzah. Haitzah, there are two forms of Haitzah. How do we establish what's a malacha? Whatever was important in the Asiyas HaMishkan is a malacha. So the Mishnah learns that certain details of Haitzah from the fact that in the Midbar, when they were traveling from the Mem Beis Masoah, the 42 different cities, after they built the Mishkan, took down the Mishkan, put it up again, and they carried it to a new place. So the Gemara learns out from the Masoah's, about details about Haitzah. So it's interesting, the klal is, Hachtahabim Mishkan Hashibi Korelayav. How do we decide which malacha, what is an av and what's a tolda? Whatever was significant in Asiyas HaMishkan. That's the Egli Tal and Hakdam that has a long arichus on that, a whole essay. Whatever was important in construction of the Mishkan, Asiyas HaMishkan. What about Shechet was important in Hakrovas HaKarbonis in the Mishkan? There are a lot of malachas that were necessary in the Hakrovas HaKarbonis, so most of the Mishkan, that doesn't count. Haftavim Mishkan Hashiva, the first daf in Bava Kama, the base of Manala, whatever was an important activity in Asiyas HaMishkan, construction of Mishkan. We're not learning out from Hakrovas HaKorbanos, we're learning out from construction. So how does the Gemara learn out from the traveling in the Midbar, when they came Asa B'nei Kohan, so they used to travel, L'mayla Me'asar Tfachim, all details. So it would appear for the Gemara an interesting idea. All the dinim of the Masoas and the Midbar was all Hayroa Shoah. They should be four Machnas, Degel Machne Yehuda, Degel Adonis Ma'asif L'chol HaMachnas. Each Machna has a Degel and so on, a color with a design on the flag. This is all Hayroa Shoah. What is it Hayroa Shoah of? So it would appear that it's not a Hayroa Shoah how to travel. It's a Hayroa Shoah of Hakamas HaMishkan in the new location. Is considered when they're traveling in the Mishka, in the Midbar, they're traveling with the Mishkan in order to rebuild the Mishkan in a new location. So everything, Vitam HaRashua, it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMishkan. That's the correct way to do Hakamas HaMishkan, to travel with the Mishkan in the middle and the Golem around them. So that's why the Mishnah considers it legitimate to learn out from the details of Malachim Haitzah. I learned that from the way they were traveling in the Midbar. On the level of the Raisa, there are three different Rishuyas. There's either Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim, and anything that's neither A nor B is a Makam Ptur. And in the Rabbanan, they divided the Mekamis Tur into two categories. Some of them we label as a Karmelis, and some of them we leave as a Makam Tur. If it's a Makam Tur, then you're permitted to carry, let's say, from Rishus HaYochid into the Makam Tur would be Heta Gomer. But if it's a Karmelis, then it's considered another Dalad Rishus LeShabbos. Rishus HaRab, Rishus HaYochid, Karmelis are the three. A Makam Tur is not called a Makam at all. So, there are two different kinds of Karmelis. Usually a Karmelis is most of the areas that are Makam Tur, the Rabbanan, they labeled as the Karmelis. Said, you're not allowed to carry Dalad Amas there. You're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid into the Karmelis, not allowed to carry from the Rishus HaRab into the Karmelis. Even less than Dalad Adal, then you're not allowed to carry Mava Dalad Amas, Rishus HaRabim, you're not allowed to carry Dalad Amas in the Karmelis. So that's Midirabbanan. Then there's another kind of Karmelis. Let's say you have a Rishus HaYochid in an area that's, let's say Shlomo HaMelech made a gzera that you're not allowed to carry, you have an apartment building and each family lives in a different apartment. So Minatara, the whole building is one big Rishus HaYochid. And Midirabbanan, Shlomo HaMelech made a gzera, you're not allowed to carry in the hallways. You're not allowed to carry from one apartment to the other unless you put aside the Erev HaTzeres. That's Midirabbanan Hesus. We treat it as if it's a Karmelis, something like that. We treat the hallways as if it's a Karmelis. So there are really two different kinds. Or let's say you have an area that has three mechitzas, U-shape, and you didn't put a tikkun on the Baruch HaVis. So the opening Mishnah in Aaron says, Ben HaTorah, you're permitted to carry. The whole need for the tikkun on the Baruch HaVis is only by the Rabbanan. So that's why there are a lot of kulas. Because Ben HaTorah, you don't even need the tikkun on the Baruch HaVis, only by the Rabbanan. But Kozman, you don't have that tikkun on the Baruch HaVis. We consider the area that has the three mechitzas as if it's a Karmelis. And Benatar, it's really a Rishus HaYochid. Many Rishonim hold. Some hold it's only a Rishus HaYochid if it has Dalet mechitzas. And others hold that it's a Rishus HaYochid even if it just has three mechitzas, just missing on the Ruch HaVis. So Benatar, it's a Rishus HaYochid. So you have sometimes a Rishus HaYochid which is declared by the Rabbanan as a Karmelis. It started off as a Rishus HaYochid. And sometimes you have a Makam Ptur. It started off as a Makam Ptur Minatar, but the Rabban they declared as a Karmelis. But there are two different kinds of Karmelis. One started off as a Rishus HaYochid, and one started off as a Makam Ptur. So that's a question. Let's say you have these two Karmelis and one next to the other. So you're permitted to carry in a Karmelis, Pachis Midalar Amas. Not allowed to carry more than Dalar Amas, but Pachis Midalar Amas seems to be Mutter in a Karmelis. So what if I'm going to carry from one, they're adjacent to each other, one next to the other, they're contiguous. Are you allowed to carry, you're allowed to make an Akira in one Karmelis and Hanoch and the other Karmelis, when one of them started off as Rishus HaYochid Ben HaTorah, and they lowered it down to the level of a Karmelis, the other one started as a Makam Ptur Ben HaTorah, and they elevated it to the level of Karmelis. So that's a Machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. The Pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is that we pass, and even if they're two different kinds, two different brands of Karmelis. One started off as a Rishus HaYochid Ben HaTorah. The other one started off as a Makam Ptur Ben HaTorah. Still, it is Mutter. The Pashta says that it's Mutter to carry from one to the other, provided that you're carrying less than Dalet Amas. The Rabbi Shonim would disagree on that. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the opinion, and that was really a major machlokes, that it's the area. Does ownership play a role when you determine whether any given area is a Rishus HaYochid or a Rishus HaRab? So to declare that it's a Rishus HaYochid, ownership does not play a role. Let's say City Hall belongs to the municipality, or the White House doesn't belong to the, it's not the private ownership of the president, it belongs to the Medina, so, but it has walls around it. So a White House, even though it belongs to the Rabbim, that's a Rishus HaYochid. But in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, their ownership does play a role. Let's say you have a whole city, and the whole city is privately owned. One person built the whole city, and he rents out homes to people. But he owns the whole city. So the Gemara says, that that's not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. It's only a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa if it's Shel Rabim, has to belong to the public. So there is a Mishnah in Erevin on Daf Nun Tes, where the Mishnah talks about Hoya Shal Rabim, and he made a Shal Yochid. Shal Yochid, he made a Shal Rabim, that in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, their eyes has to be Shal Rabim. How do you translate Shal Rabim? So the Poshim Shat, perhaps, is that in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, it has to belong has to be the ownership of the rabbim. If it's privately owned, it's not called the Rishus Rab. That's the Pashup Shah. So a lot of Rishayim there, Taisvis and the Chachmei Ashkenaz all came up with it. Some of them had this Girsa in the Gemara, others didn't have it, but they interpreted that that's what it means. They came up, it's only called Sharabim if you have Shishim Riba people. If you have a little village and you don't have Shishim Riba people, in New York City you have Anashir, you have more than Shishim Riba. But where I go in the summertime in Tanazol, in upstate New York, if the whole city is two by nothing, there's no Shishim Riba. There's no one Riba, there's nothing there. So according to the Bali Atesis, that cannot be Oshu Sarab Derais. The Chach Misvar all didn't have that Girs in the Gemara, and they all disagree, they hold that it's not correct. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, everybody agrees, all the Dinim of Haitzah learned that, all the Malachim Shabbos learned that from the Mishkan, and many of the Dinim of Haitzah learned that from the Masos, the way they were traveling in the Midbar, they were carrying the Mishkan to the new location to erect the dead. That's also called Asiyas HaMishkan. The traveling and the carrying while they're traveling is going to lead up to the rebuilding of the Mishkan in a new location. So the Gemara says, in order to be Rishu Saram Deraisa, has to be Tezayinama white. Why Tezayinama white? Because in the Midbar, when they had Shishim Riba, people traveling, the highway had to be at least Tezayinama white. If it's less, they wouldn't accommodate Shishim Riba. So all the Rishonim agreed to this idea of Shishim Riba. The Chumash tells us what the population was. It was 600,005, I think. Chamesh Miyos. It's not Shishim Riba. We change a little bit more. The Rashash points out it's not exactly Shishim Riba. It's a little more. And we assume the Torah wrote this in order to teach us what constitutes a Rishus Rab. So the Machlekes of Rishonim is the actually need the Poel Mamish. There should be Shishim Riba, people roaming around there, or it's enough if it's Roy, the Shishim Riba. That's how Rav Soloveitchik worded it. Everybody agrees that it has to be Shal Rab, has to be Shaykh to contain Shishim Riba. That's why I need Tezayin Amma Berochav in the Rishus Rab. And the Gemara says on Daf Chav Beisam and Aleph in Erevin, Yerushalayim and Malid Al Tesem and Alas Ba'alayla, if not for the fact that he used to lock the gates every night, so then he couldn't travel through and through the whole city from one side to the other. So if not for the fact that they locked the gates every night, Chayav Malam Mishum Mishu Sarab. Now that they locked the gates every night, so it's a lack of Bikur HaRabim. So everybody agrees that Shishim Riba plays a role. You need Bikur HaRabim. But they argue is enough if it's Royal Shishim Riba, you have to actually have the Poel Mamish. You have to have the Shishim Riba roaming around. That's the question, roaming around where? So the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, any given street only has the din of Rishus Rab. There I say, if you have Shishim Riba, people walking there every day on that particular street. But Moshe comes up with a big chiddush that the Mishnah Berurah has. He must have forgotten that the Mishnah Berurah has it, and Rabbi Moshe rediscovered it. So he thinks that you don't need Shishim Riba, people walking on the street. In the whole city, if you put all the streets together, there are Shishim Riba people roaming around in the streets. So then that makes all the streets into Rishus Harab and Deraisa. In order to convert Rishus Harab into Rishus HaYochid, so you have to make mechitzas. You have to make mechitzas. So Minator, it's enough if you have mechitzas U-shaped. They cover three sides. I mean, the Rabban, you have to have a tikkun on the Ruach Revius. If you don't have a mechitza on the fourth wall, you're not allowed to carry. So because the whole need for the tikkun on the Ruach Revius is on the Rabbanon, so that's why there are kulas on the Ruach Revius. There are a lot of kulas. But on the level of the Raisa, once you have the three walls, most of the Rishonim assume it's already a Rishus HaYochid. Yeah. What if you have Tzuris HaPesach? That's usually what you have. When you want to permit carrying in a bungalow colony or in a camp or something or in a city, they make a Tzuris HaPesach. So we assume that Tzuris HaPesach is a din deraisa. Tzuris HaPesach is the frame of do you have kana mikam kana mikam kana al gabayin. You have a mezuzah on the right side, a mezuzah on the left side, then you have the mashkof on top. So that's the one line description the Gemara has. We assume that Tzuris HaPesach is a real din deraisa, that it constitutes, has a din of a mechitza. Pardon me?
I thought that was instituted by Shlomo HaMelech.
Shlomo HaMelech instituted Eruv Yechatzeres. If you have an apartment building and different families live in a different apartment, you want to carry in the hallways, you want to carry from one apartment to the other, so you need to put away a box of challah, a lechem, a box of matzahs, lechem shemarach malav ha-moitzi. You have to put away a box of matzahs that's on the shutzahs by all of the people. So in the days, the more correct is, each Shem Shabbos family has to give a pas shlema, a pas that's sholem, either a whole matzah or a whole challah. Every week you have to collect, it has to be roi lachila. We don't go collect from anybody. Let's say you're going to make an erev in a big city, you're going to have a million little challahs. You have to have a gigantic bag, a plastic bag that can hold a million challahs. Once the bag is full, you can put the rest of the challahs in the next bag. But you're going to have onashia bags if you're going to have. So that's why we make all. We buy a box of matzahs in the store. The Gemara says you can only make Eruv Chatzeres with Lechem Shemarach Molav HaMoitzi. So that's a Shaila that the Sfardim say Bori Minim Zayis HaMatzah. They only say HaMoitzi on Pesach night. So that's a Shaila. How is the Eruv Chatzeres acceptable for the Sfardim? It's not Lechem Shemarach Molav HaMoitzi. So the Gemara says it's okay. The Gemara doesn't directly address this issue, but the Gemara says if you have Pas HaBob B'Kisnin, if you have cake, it's a subcategory of lechem. It's pas habo b'kisnin. So then yechayv and challah to be mafresh challah, because as vayev acholchem lechem haaretz, it is pas, it is lechem. It's a subcategory. Pas habo b'kisnin. It's a subcategory. So the din is, if you have cake or cookies, if you cook there's suda on it, then it becomes hamotzi lechem haaretz. Then you have to wash until the tzadayim say hamotzi. You have to recite birchas hamazon at the end. If you're not kaveh suda on it, so then the Pasabah of the Kisnan remains Mizaynus. So the Gemara says, since theoretically, if you would have been Kaveh Suda, it would have been required to say Hamoitzi, so even if you're not Kaveh Suda, you just have a box of matzahs and the Sfardim on Pesach night by the Seder, they consider it as if they're Kaveh Suda on the matzah. That's why they say Hamoitzi, but all year long, they're not Kaveh Suda on the matzah. So they say Mizaynus, but since theoretically it's Pasabah of the Kisnan, it's a subcategory of real lechem, so that's enough. That's called lechem shemarachem olam ha-maitzi. That's good for the Eruv Chatzeres. Yeah. So the shaila is usually when you have an area, you want your backyard, your front lawn, you want to carry, so you make it Tzuras HaPesach. So in the Gemara is just the whole idea of Tzuras HaPesach and Gansan, one line. Konim mikam, it isn't so complicated. But when you look through all the Gemaras, it becomes a little more complicated. So first of all, the Gemara says that the Tzuras HaPesach has to be Bria Kedei L'Kabel Dela Shel Kash. The Tzuras HaPesach is only valid if the two poles on either side are sturdy enough to attach a door. A door doesn't have to be as high as the string is on top. The door, the Konim Vikamim Konim Kan, have to be able to hold the door. If you put it on hinges to hold the door, that'll go from one pole to the other. The further away the poles are, so the sturdier they have to be. They have to be able to hold the door. That'll go from one pole to the other, or at least one pole should be hard enough, sturdy enough to hold the door. That'll go halfway, 10 tefachim tall door. And the other pole on the other konamikan, the other mezuzah, has to be sturdy enough to hold the door. That'll go halfway. So if each door would hold, mezuzah, each door post is sturdy enough to hold the door that goes halfway, that's 10 tefachim tall, that would have constituted a mechitza. So that would have made it into Rishus HaYachatz. So even though you don't have the door attached to it, you just have the Tzuras HaPesach, that's good enough. But the Gemara says the pole has to be Bria Kedei L'Kabel Dela Shel Kash, has to be sturdy enough to hold the door that would be used in that Medina. We have doors. I have a door that has a lot of windows, a wooden door that has windows in it, so it's lighter. In the yeshiva, there are doors that are made from metal. The front door, I think, is made from metal in my house. There are doors that are heavy doors, there are light doors. And we have an accordion door separating between the kitchen and the dining room. So that's also an accordion door. It's much lighter than the other doors in the house. So that's called Bria Kedei L'Kabel Dela Shel Kash, Bosa Medina. in the Far East, a lot of times they have cloth doors that are even lighter than our doors. But in America, we don't use it. It's not normal to use those kind of doors. As to be briyak de'uchabal de'lashal kash, if the de'lashal kash is used by Oysa Medina, then it'll be good enough. Then the Gemara says, very often that's a big problem. You have such a flimsy tzuris ha-pesach, it's not briyak, it can't hold the door at all. So if they're very far apart, if they're 10 blocks apart from each other, economy can't. That's probably impossible. How can the telephone poles be sturdy enough to hold the door that's going to go 5 blocks and the other one has to gonna hold the door 5 blocks down? Shoot, the door doesn't have to reach the string on top, but the door has to be at least 10, 12 from tall. Has to be very sturdy. It's probably impossible. Better is if you make as many as possible economy cons. You should have many mezuzahs. So each area that's covered with the Tzuras HaPesach should be a smaller distance, because the longer the distance is, the more sturdy it has to be. The Prima Gadim, the Mishnah Berurah, quotes the Prima Gadim Hadasafik, maybe the whole idea that Tzuras HaPesach constitutes a mechitza, maybe it's only a din midrabanan, maybe it doesn't work on the level of the Raisa, and therefore it should only work if the area that we're talking about that you want to convert into Rishus HaYochid is a Karmelis to begin with. But if it's real Rishus Ram Deraisa, maybe Tzoras HaPesach is a fake. Maybe it's only called the Mechitza Medirabon. The Din Tzoras HaPesach is a Din Deraisa, but again, the Chiyuv Mezuzah. If you have a Tzoras HaPesach, you Chayuv Mezuzah. And it's a Din Deraisa by Korb Pesach, Pesach Mitzrayim. There was no Mizbech, so they had to be Zerk the Dam, Ashtay HaMezuzos, V'Ala Mashkov. Where do we have the Din of Tzoras HaPesach, Mizban HaZeh, outside of Pesach Mitzrayim? And outside of Hilchus Mezuzah, so we have it by Kilayim. If you want to plant vegetables on one farm and wheat on the other farm, you want to plant different things, you want to plant two different trees near each other, that's not a problem. You don't have to have a harchok on trees. You're not allowed to graft the branch from one tree onto another tree. That's harkobas ilonis. But if you're not grafting from one tree to the other, that's not an issur of Kilayim. But you're not allowed to plant different vegetables near each other. So if you have a fence in between, then you can plant up until the fence on this side one vegetable, and up until the fence on the other side another vegetable. And if you don't have a fence, then you have to have a harchoke, a dalaramas or so. The Mishnah tells you how much of a harchoke you need. So then the Mishnah says, if you have a tzuris ha-pesach separating in between the one farm and the other, even though the vegetables are growing on top of each other, yearning from each other, it doesn't matter. Tzoras HaPesach is a mechitza deraisa. Tenimate kloy zroim in Eretz Yisrael. Kloy zroim yisum is a nisa deraisa in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi has a chiddush. Rashi thinks kloy zroim is only a nisa derabbanan. When it says sotcha l'sizu kelayim, it means karmacha. It doesn't mean sotcha. But Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. We assume like Tosfos that sotcha l'sizu kelayim goes on kloy zroim. Kloy zroim in Eretz Yisrael is a nisa deraisa. Just they never introduced it in Chutz Lawrence. Kloy Akerem, they did introduce in Chutz Lawrence, because it's more chomer than Kloy Zerim. Kloy Akerem is also Bahanoah, but Yevit, it's also to eat it. Osbachil, also Bahanoah. Kloy Zerim, there's no Isser Hanoah. It is an Isser to plant it, but once it's growing, then there's no Isser to eat the food. So the Gemara said the Pharisee that Tzuras HaPesach works on the level of the rice to be matic climb, to plant, even though there's no fence separating between the two farms. But you have a Tzuras HaPesach, so you can plant up until the Tzuras HaPesach one vegetable, and the other side you plant the other vegetable. So the Chazon Ish has a hasog on the Prima Gadim. What the Mishnah Berurah quote is Sofik from the Prima Gadim, that maybe Tzuras HaPesach only has a din of a chitza midrabanan, only has a din of a mechitza midrabanan, and therefore it cannot be matir tiltul on Shabbos if the whole Isser Hoitzo in the first place is only mit the Rabbah Heimamru, but you can't use it Tzuras HaPesach to convert Rishus HaRam Deraisa into Rishus HaYochid. So the Chazon Ish says it's a mistake. The Prima Gadim made a mistake. It's beferish that the Tzuras HaPesach is good to be matir Isser Kelayim Deraisa. So the Chazon Ish was a litvishus. He can say the Prima Gadim made a mistake by the Galatiana. That's out of the question. Prima Gadim was a Galatiana, but he lived in Germany. He had a position. He was a Malamed of young children in Frankfurt. Frankfurt on the Oder, not on the Main. Frankfurt, the other two Frankfurts in Germany. So by the Galdesiana, it's not shaykh to say that the Primogodim made a mistake. So they defend the Primogodim. They say, correct, what the Chazanish pointed out is correct, that so it's a Pesach works on the level of the rice by Kilayim. You can plant vegetable, you can plant grapes up until this wall and plant the grain on the other side, that's correct. But that's a mechitza hamapsekes. But by Shabbos you need a mechitza hamakefes. It has to be makef the entire area. So that's what the Prima Godem raised the possibility. Maybe for Shabbos purposes, it's Zoros of Pesach is no good. For Kilay HaKerem purposes, it is good, because all you need is a mechitza hamapsekes. But for Shabbos purposes, we need a mechitza hamakefes. Maybe that's not good. So that's a shayla, whether when you make an error with the Zoros of Pesach, is that accomplished to make the area into Rishus Sayochid Min HaTorah, or is it only make-believe with the Rabbanon to solve a problem, the Rabbanon? Yeah, there are other dinim also in Tzuras HaPesach. The Gemara says it has to be al-gabeim, kadim kan al-gabeim. If you have the kadim outside, years ago it was very common that around the camps and the bungalow colonies they didn't have knowledgeable people making there, so they used to tie a string around the top of the pole, tie a string around the other pole. They wouldn't put it al-gabeim. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that that's not acceptable. The Marsham was known as a big maker 100 years ago in Berjan. So he thought that since today it's normal to build buildings where the kana al-gabeim is not al-gabeim, it's minatzad, so the din changes. That the Gemara says, Pischi Shamoi, poorly constructed Tzuras HaPesach, does not have a din of a mechitza. But b'zman hazeh, a kana minatzad is considered properly constructed. So that's why originally when they made the Erev in Toronto, it was made by a Talmid Chacham who consulted with the Marsham, and the Marsham sent him tshuvas that you can make minatzad. So for many years they never changed the Erev in Manhattan until so many people were so knowledgeable of the Mishnah Berurah that they stopped carrying. So then they did over the whole Erev. So now St. Gamson different now does correspond to Mishnah Berurah's Hilchos Erev. But for a long time, it didn't really correspond. Achuri HaKaisel is also an issue. A lot of times, let's say you have an area that has three mechitzas, U-shaped, and then you put a Tzuras HaPesach in the front. So you put Kana Mikan on the outside over there, Kana Mikan on the outside, the Kana Gabayim. So in front of the area that has the three walls, you just have the wire going. The two poles are Achuri HaKaisel. They're on the side, and they're not contiguous to the area that's being enclosed. So that's what many Gedolim held, that that's not acceptable. Many Gedolim held that that's not acceptable. I think many interpret that the Yerushalmi says that it's not acceptable. Achuri HaKaisel, that's often a problem. Yeah, then you have... the Rambam had a Girsa in Yerushalmi. We don't have it in the Babli. We don't even have it in the Yerushalmi. The Rambam had a Girsa in the Yerushalmi that if you make a Tzuras HaPesach for a distance of more than Eser Amos, it's not acceptable. The Mishnah says it is acceptable, the first Mishnah in the Masechta Erevin. That's because it's on the Ruach Revi, so the whole need for the Tikkun on Ruach Revi is only with the Rabbanon. So even if the distance between one end of the Mavui and the other is Yes and Yeser, so there we make them. But if it's not Ruach Revi, it's on one of the first four walls and you have Paritz Merubah Lo'aymed, if you have a Merubah Paritz, and all need for Tikkun to put it Tzuras HaPesach by Yes and Yeser, we assume is only with the Rabbanon, then again we're Mekel. Then again we're Mekel, that Tzuras HaPesach, Yes and Yeser would be good. But if you have Paritz Merubah Lo'aymed, if you have Paritz Merubah Lo'aymed, and you're using a Tzuras HaPesach, Yes and Yeser, on one of the three walls, so the Rambam had a Girsa and Yerushalmi that that's not acceptable. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rambam's opinion. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and not only the Rambam says like that, the Smag and the Smak also quote like that. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends that people should be machmer for that opinion. That's quite a whopper of a chumrah. Yeah, that'll do away with every Erev in the world, yeah. So by Lubavitch, the Alter Rebbe recommends you should be machmer also. But by Lubavitch, they're only machmer that the gap, the distance between one pole and the next pole should not be yes and yes and ramis. Even though the sum total of the whole distance of the whole Erev is much more than Eseram, so they're not machmer on that. So that's what the Chazon Ish points out. If you want to be machmer for the Rambam's opinion that the Tzuras HaPes or Yes and Yesem is no good, it's not enough that you put a pole every nine Amos. If the sum total of the whole distance from one end to the other is more than Eseram, so Tosis points out on base on the base, and that's called Yes and Yesem. So it won't be valid, it won't be any good. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. B'li Neder, I think I'll be able to give a shiur. Let's see, what was the plan? Next week on Thursday night. On Thursday night, the 16th of June. B'li Neder said maybe people should send it if you won't be able to attend. I think there probably will be a few people attending. So, believe that, I'll give the next shiur on, that'll be the last shiur for the season, on next Thursday night, and we'll continue in Dinam, a little bit the Dinam of Hotzah.
Also 8:30?
8:30, good.
Okay, Shpeach.
Very good.
Maybe a Tzuras HaPesach, it does not need a mezuzah?
That's a good question. Whenever you have an Erev, how come you don't put a mezuzah
right on
Pesach? So the different suggestions are given. So some say you really do need a mezuzah, but we're afraid the rain is going to ruin it or the goyim will steal it. So you don't put a mezuzah in a mok mishen and mishtamer. They told me that in Bok Ritan, a lot of times in the summertime, the heat, the sun is so hot, it mamish burns up the parchment of the mezuzah. So you can't put a mezuzah outside in the sun. You have to put it in a protective casing. You put the mezuzah inside the house. If you have to figure out how where to put it inside the house. The Shach writes he lived in Vilna. So before the Chmelnytsky pogroms, and when they killed everybody, but there's always anti-Semitism. So he writes in the Shach and Hilchas Mezuzah, the goyim in the street used to pull down the mezuzahs, that had to put the mezuzah on the inside. So he discusses it. Achurei HaDelas is not kosher. If you put the mezuzah, what's called Achurei HaDelas? So he quotes the three different opinions. And there were Mako, because if you leave the mezuzah outside, it'll be ripped down by the Goyim. So you're not allowed to put a mezuzah in a Mokam Shein Mishtama. The Nesibis has a different suggestion. A lot of times when you have an Erev, it's a Tzuras HaPesach around the bungalow colony, around the camp, so when they play ball, the kids are playing ball. Some of them are in the Erev, some of them are out on the weekday. Some are in the Erev, some are out of the Erev. So the Erev doesn't really prevent the flow of traffic, doesn't prevent the people use the area inside like outside. So whenever you have, that's the klal that the Nesivus has in the Tikkun Erev. The Nesivus has a Sefer Hilchos Pesach Mikor Chaim. And the end of the Mekor Chaim, he has a page and a half that's called Tikkun Erev. The Mishnah Berurah quotes extensively from the Tikkun Erev, as if it's a whole sefer. It's just 1.5 pages. And he has the Piske Halacha about how to make an Erev in one easy lesson. He doesn't give too much explanation. So that's what he writes. If you have a Tzuras HaPesach, and it doesn't really prevent... It doesn't make a different hishtamshus, one side and the other side. It's the same hishtamshus. It's not mechalek. It's not mechalek anything. Then he thinks for mezuzah purposes, you don't need a mezuzah mikred. Not only because it's a makmashen hishtamer, it may rain on it, it'll ruin the goyim, will rip it down. It's not a tzuras hapesach for mezuzah purposes. It's only a tzuras hapesach for hilchos Shabbos purposes. But that is the practice, that when you have an Erev Tzuras HaPesach, you don't put mezuzahs on it for one reason or another. Correct? Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.